Hello everyone and welcome to this special call of the Combined Life School Masterclass Immersion webinar.
Hi everyone, I'm so glad to be here with you this morning. We're really looking forward to talking to you and hearing from you. So today we are going to talk about co-creating versus compromise. And it's something that Gary and I have been thinking about for a while and wanted to share it with you. Thought it would be helpful.
So the question we have for you is, when you're interacting with someone and you want something and the other person wants something else, the question is, are you co-creating or are you compromising? Mm. Let's look at that question. And then we're going to go back to see how that relates to authentic power and creating authentic power. So, creativity and compromise are not the same. Creativity comes from love. Compromise comes from fear. Co-creativity is a mutual endeavor to contribute to whatever it needs. It's a mutual endeavor of all involved to contribute all that they can. Compromise is a negotiated settlement. It ensures that each gives the least necessary in order to obtain the most possible. So you can see there's quite a bit of difference in the energy of these two activities. And there's a big difference in the way that the participants feel. Co-creators are fulfilled and appreciative of one another. Compromisers are not satisfied. It doesn't matter what the compromise is. Pardon me. They're never fully satisfied. The best they can experience is temporary happiness, because the one that imposes on the other his or her will and gets essentially what he or she wants is happy for the moment. In other words, it's the experience of a successful pursuit of external power. But you already know by now that that produces a happiness that's temporary. It doesn't produce a joy that's permanent.
So I wanted to say one thing, beloved, just so to clarify, because when we create, everything we do is creation, everything.
Yes.
But we're talking about the creativity that comes from loving parts of the personality.
Precisely. It's the difference. Well, we were going to come back to that, but we're here mm-hmm. right now.
Yeah.
How does this relate to creating authentic power?
Mm.
When you're co-creating, and only when you're co-creating, are you experiencing the intention of love. In other words, the intention of love is necessary in order to co-create. If you're not experiencing love, you can't co-create. The best you can do is bargain, and that is an intention that comes from fear.
Well, compromise. You can compromise.
That is a compromise.
Yeah.
Fear. The intention of fear, when you are interacting with someone else and there's a disagreement about what you want to do, the intention of fear will create a compromise. And a compromise will never produce joy. The best it can produce is happiness for the person who feels that he or she has essentially what he or she wants. And the person who doesn't feel that he or she has essentially what he or she wants has sacrificed a little bit. And by the way, they both feel this way. There'll be a resentment that comes along with the negotiated deal, because the deal always could have been better. That's the perception of a frightened part of the personality.
Do you think that people that win a compromise, when they feel momentarily happy, do you think that they're aware that they feel resentful? I think maybe...
No. The one that's feeling momentarily happy in that moment is mm-hmm. feeling happy.
Mm-hmm.
The one who... But a compromise is such that someone never gets entirely what he or she wants. Now, when that happens, that is a real disaster for a breakup of a relationship. whether it's two people or whether it's a group of people. If somebody imposes herself or imposes himself and says, look, this is it, we've talked enough, this is what we're going to do, or withdraws into a sulk or a pout or goes away or won't interact any further until he or she gets exactly what is wanted. Now that is not a compromise on that person's part. It is a total imposition of one will over another. But the other person is compromising entirely. The other person has relinquished anything that he or she wanted in order not to disturb the status quo. That can mean in order not to lose the relationship, in order not to lose the house, in order not to lose financial security, in order not to lose sex, in order not to lose something that's important to that person. That person has compromised everything. But what we're talking about generally when we say compromise is some people or one person is giving up what's necessary in order to save most of what he or she wants, and the other is also.
Yeah.
In other words, a compromise is a lack of integrity. And what's important is integrity. In a spiritual partnership, if you don't have integrity, you're really not spiritual partners, because integrity requires that you be in the fullness of who you are. And it's in the fullness of who you are that you can decide to co-create. Compromise is a distortion. It's a distortion of what you know is right and what you know is best for you. And you do it anyway because there's something you want even more in the moment. A compromise is disregard for the interest of others. It appears to be in the interest of others when you're compromising, but it's not. It's a probing to see how much you can get for how little you can give.
Well, it actually creates distance.
Both parts of it,
whether you are the compromiser or the one who feels, the one who's getting what they want or the one who feels they've compromised, you're creating distance between you.
Absolutely.
Because it comes from fear.
Absolutely, you are. It looks like there's a giving in, but there's never a complete giving in, except in the first case, as we described, when someone is so used to being the boss. Maybe he's been in business for years and he's made a lot of money, or he hasn't, but he's been the boss, and he can't give that up. That's not a compromise when the other person says, okay, you win. The other person has sacrificed his or her integrity completely. But the boss, the one who's imposed himself, has sacrificed his integrity also, or her integrity. And this may not be apparent in the moment, but integrity comes with love. Integrity comes with being what you know you need to be in this circumstance. Not to get the most you can for yourself, but to give what you can in a different energy, a different intention, and the intention is love.
So the only way that I can be in integrity ever is to create from loving parts of my personality. That's the only way. And any time I create from frightened parts of my personality, I'm not in my integrity. So we're talking about it in that way, so you understand.
That's right. That's right, exactly, beloved. So instead of closeness, there's resentment and distance. That always happens in a compromise. But in a co-creation, it's a remarkable feeling of joy, of being connected. When I feel that with Linda, when I feel that with you, when we're at an event, or when we're on a session like this, it's a remarkable experience.
Now, I wanted to talk.
It's an experience of authentic power, by the way.
Yeah. You know, I wanted to talk about something that I thought about this morning when we were meditating. I had an early experience of something that could have been a compromise in our relationships early on, when I realized that I had been out of my integrity with money for quite a while. And so I ended up in a position where I didn't really have what I needed. And we were living in Mount Shasta.
Now, you're talking about shortly after we were together,
yes,
when we started living together, right?
Yes, yeah. Yes, it wasn't long after. And I had continually not wanting to see what was going on. And so there was something that I wanted to do very much. And because of what I hadn't taken care of in my life, I knew I wouldn't be able to do it. I really wanted to start creating retreats, actually. That was what I wanted to do. And because I knew I had to, I knew that the universe wanted me to do that. But I had created, with frightened parts of my personality, a situation where I didn't have the money. So I, early on in our relationship, we hadn't been together very long. In fact, probably less than a year. I think less than a year.
Quite a bit less than a year. And perhaps only a few months after we decided to both move into my cabin.
I think that's right. So maybe 9 months. Maybe we'd been together 9 months. And I realized the situation that I was in. So I asked Gary very clearly, without attachment, I said, I need to have a certain amount of money, thousands of dollars. I need to have this money. And
I think it was $7,000.
I think it was.
Yeah.
I think it was. And I said, it's okay if you...
There's a reason I remember that figure.
Yeah, if you can't do it, it's okay. But that's what I need. And Gary thought about it for a while. And I was okay with moving back to the Bay Area where I knew I could earn money. In Mount Shasta, I wasn't sure how it would happen. And what happened is Gary said to me, he said, okay, I will give you the money on loan. And I said, thank you, but I can't do that. I cannot. I'm not going to get myself more in debt. So thank you for that offer. And I was okay with it. And I was really ready to move back to the Bay Area. But Gary really worked, I think, probably pretty hard with his frightened parts of his personality. And he said to me, after considering it for a little bit, he said, okay, I will give you the money. You do not have to pay me back. And I said, well, I will take this money and I won't have to ask you again for money. I know that because I know what I'm going to do now. I know what my plan is. And I was so excited. I felt so excited that I had been in my integrity. It'd been I hadn't been for a while, and that I said exactly what I needed, and I was completely willing to do what I needed to do, no matter what Gary said. And he, I think, probably had to challenge, in fact, I think he will tell you, had to challenge frightened parts of his personality not to give it to me as a loan, but to actually give me the money, not knowing what would happen. So you might want to say your part, but I felt it was a very big time when we co-created because of how it happened and what happened. I don't mean that we didn't have frightened parts of our personality at any time, but I feel like how it ended wasn't like that at all.
No, it wasn't. Now, the issue of money was a big one for me because in my family, I came from a lower middle class family, so we didn't have a lot of money compared to a lot of people. Mm. But money was important, first of all, because we didn't have a lot of it. But even more than that, it was important because of fear in my dad. He used money as a means of controlling. He was an old male, as almost all males were in those days, which means they were providers and protectors. And almost all females were old females, which means that their fulfillment came from bearing children and raising children. But in that context, provider and protector context, my dad really kept control of the family finances and kept control of money in the family. And by the way, that doesn't mean that he wasn't generous. That doesn't mean that he didn't provide what was needed whenever it was a real need. Once, when I was in high school, I saw a new Corvette, and oh my goodness, it was such a beautiful car. So I asked my dad to come down to the Chevy dealer with me to look at it, and then I asked him if we might get one of these. And he said, well, it is a beautiful car, but it's probably not going to work for us. So he was gracious enough to come down. And he was gracious enough to send me to college with the help of a scholarship from Harvard. And he was gracious enough to send my sister to college with the help of a scholarship from that college. And he always took care of us, but he controlled the money, and the money was his way of controlling and emotionally being in control. Mm-hmm. So now here's Linda saying, I would like some money from you, and not a loan. I want you to give it to me, and it'll be gone from you. Mm-hmm. It won't be yours anymore. She didn't put it that way, but that's the way a frightened part of my personality was looking at it. And I told you there's a reason I remembered the figure of $7,000. That's because that's all I had. So Linda was asking for all of my savings, and she didn't have any savings. So that was the situation I found myself in. But a very surprising thing happened to me. I discovered that Linda was more important to me than the money. Mm-hmm. For all of that experience growing up with a dad for whom money and who worked very hard for money and used it to control, I was surprised, genuinely surprised, when I looked at it to discover that I had the option of giving all the money that I had to Linda, or having her go back to the Bay Area and be a chiropractor there. And the surprise to me was that it wasn't a choice. There was no real, well, if this and if that. It was simple and clear and clean to me. The money meant nothing compared to how important Linda was to me. And so I said yes. And that was a co-creation. At that point, it wasn't a negotiation. It wasn't a settlement that we both arranged with each other. It was something that Linda asked for, and she wasn't pushing about it. She was clear that she was okay with going back to the Bay Area. Mm-hmm. I know that she would have preferred to stay with me, mm-hmm. but she knew that what she had to do, and she was willing to do it without using that as a lever to get money from me. That was not part of her energy. And the surprise that came to me was that that was okay with me. I love Linda. I was not accustomed to loving people in those days. And so that was our co-creation. It was an important co-creation. Thank you for bringing that up, beloved.
Yeah, you say you weren't accustomed, but I think you just weren't aware of how much you did love people, because frightened parts of your personality were in control a lot of the time. But that wasn't my experience of you. Yeah. So this really isn't about money that we're talking. We are talking about money, but really we're talking about integrity. So for me, what it was for me is that I saw how I wasn't in integrity and that I couldn't continue on. So we're talking about integrity. We're talking about creating, so I knew I needed to create something different, and I wanted to co-create with you.
And it was my integrity also, because I realized that I would be out of integrity if I chose the money instead of you.
Oh, how's that? Explain that.
Because it was something I knew in myself, that if I had said no, if I'd even tried to change things, if I'd said, well, how about if I give you $4,000 and lend you $3,000, what if this or what if that? Mm. It didn't feel right to me. It didn't feel that that's what I needed to do. Mm. My integrity said, give the money. I didn't think about it in these terms, but I knew that keeping the money was an artificial need. And loving Linda, loving, period, was an authentic need. I wasn't that clear on it or even thinking in those terms at the time, but looking back on it, I experienced the difference between an artificial need and an authentic need.
Oh, well, you know, that's actually true for me too. I needed to be in my integrity more than anything, even more than staying with you. Mm-hmm. I needed to be in my integrity. I needed to to make decisions from loving parts of my personality instead of the frightened parts that were ignoring my situation. And then I needed to ask you directly for what I needed, because I knew if I had that, I would never have to ask you for money again. And it was really quite amazing how it began to unfold, because I was in my integrity. I kept making decisions in a different way. I was learning about authentic power at that time. It was fairly new to me. I'd only been with Gary 9 months, and even though I'd read The Seat of the Soul several years before that, I was doing my best on my own to create authentic power. But until we got into a relationship, which created a lot of things for me to look at that I had never looked at before, because I'd always pushed it off on someone else. Well, it's their problem. It's not mine. Instead, I began to look at myself all the time and look at when I was in integrity and when I wasn't, when I was in a loving part, when I was in a frightened part. And it was just a continuous process of learning. So this was early on, and it was a huge thing, because if I had again been out of my integrity and said, I want this money, and yes, I'll take it on a loan, I would have been totally out of my integrity again, because that was not my intention. My intention was to really take responsibility for what I'd been doing and to shift that in my life.
So when that happens, when someone does what Linda did, when someone did what Linda did in this case, which is to be in integrity and to say what's needed and not to, what's that old word, prevaricate or make it different or try to hide, then that brings all of the fears to the surface of consciousness. In other words, the issue is not money in this case. The issue is, what would my fears be? Well, how would I live if I didn't have money? If I gave all the money to Linda, then I wouldn't be in control anymore. And my dad always told me, never do anything like that. And so, am I doing the right thing or the wrong thing? None of that was essential. None of that was fundamental. Fundamental was love or fear. And so the issue is never what a power struggle or a compromise is about. But when one person or the other or both are in integrity, it brings the fundamental issues up. And the issue can be anything. It can be one person, say, let's take a dyadic relationship. But the same thing goes if you're in a group, spiritual partnership with more than two people. Say, if you're in a dyadic relationship and one person wants to take a vacation and to Hawaii, and another person says, no, I want to go to Europe. I want to see the south of France. And they're fortunate enough to be able to afford a vacation like that. And then they start to compromise. They start to say, well, okay, you want to go to Hawaii, but we'll go to the south of France when it's warm there, and then you can be warm. And the other person says, no, it's not just the warmth, it's the palm trees and the island energy. And then they start to talk to see how they can work something out so they can each get what they want to a certain degree. What would be another example? Well, suppose they want to get a car. And one person says, oh, I really like this car. It's two-door, it's red, it's so nice. And the other says, well, yeah, but I think we need four doors, and also I like white cars. And so they then start to try to negotiate a settlement, make a compromise. The issue could be anything. The issue is never what it appears to be. The issue could be superficial, like how late and how loud are we going to play the TV when we can both hear the TV? The issue, that is all, those are all artificial needs. But when one or the other is in integrity or both, then all of the fears come up that are there, that are generating the desire to negotiate, to compromise, to try to field something that will satisfy everyone. And let them come up. Let them come right up to the surface, because then the real questions are on the surface. Is keeping my money more important to me than keeping my partner? That's the real question. And in my case, And my surprise was, no, it's not. Mm-hmm. So
I think, beloved, what I think about, a lot of times people don't realize that they're compromising. They don't realize they're in our frightened part because it's so familiar. But I would really like to invite all of you to really be watching in all your relationships with people, whether it's at work or with your children or with your spouse or with friends, to notice if, you know, what you're actually doing in that relationship. Are you in your integrity with that person? Are you saying exactly what you need to say without attachment to what happens? Or are you compromising by pleasing them or saying something that you really don't mean or avoiding saying something? Even that, I would kind of consider a compromise. It certainly is being out of your integrity. So just be really looking and watching to see how often these very familiar frightened parts control your life, because it can happen in ways that you won't even know.
And it does happen.
It does.
It does happen continually, and that's why we're bringing this this focus to this to this life school interaction. Are you co-creating or are you compromising? Because you'll find that you may have been compromising all your life. It may be that it's so familiar to you, you just don't know about it. If you're a woman, it may be you wanted the house this way, and your partner wanted the house that way, so you compromise. You got the kitchen the way you wanted it, but the rest of the house is the way the guy wanted it, or the other way around.
Right.
This is not a gender thing. It is a matter of intention, love or fear.
Yes, it can even be as simple as what movie you watch on the TV, or
Absolutely.
What movie you watch when you go out, or what play you go to, or whatever it is. But it's really what we're talking about is what is your energy when you're talking with
That's
the person
right.
that you're working, you know, you're with.
And if you're not aware of it, it's going to be cumulative. Because
yes.
that means you could even be with somebody and not, without really understanding it, been compromising all of your time together. It could be 3 months together, 3 years together, or 30 years together. You could be the one that's always been imposing, and the other one's been the one that's always been compromised.
Or maybe you go back and forth with it, but still, every time you do that, every time you do, what happens is you create more distance and you create resentment. After a while, it's cumulative, and pretty soon you just feel quite separate all the time, more than you could imagine, because you've always let those frightened parts be in the way. In other words, they're making the decisions for you, and you're not even aware of it.
And then you have these struggles with yourself. Am I going to stay? Am I going to leave? Can I do this anymore? Yeah, but there's always hope because we have good times together.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, if you've compromised all your life, then you've compromised all of your time together with this person or these people.
Mm-hmm.
And each time you've done it, you've created some distance, some resentment, not much maybe that you didn't, but it seemed worth it at the time. But these build up. And if you look at it, intention by intention, when you are negotiating a settlement and intending to get the most that you can, what you are saying is, in effect, this partnership, this relationship, this marriage, this business partnership is not something that I'm in for the long run. In other words, step by step, you're creating the dissolution, the end of the relationship. And then when it comes, it could surprise you or shock you or satisfy you. But whatever it is, it didn't just happen.
Mm-mm.
And as you compromise again and
again. So in other words, as when you're not in your integrity, every time you're not in your integrity, when we're talking about compromise, we're saying you're making a choice from a fearful part of your personality. That means you're not in your integrity when you do that. Because it could even look like the same thing. I mean, the same exact result could happen, like deciding to go to a movie go to the movie your partner wants to go to instead of the one you really wanted to go to. It depends on the energy, because I could decide to go to a movie Gary wanted to go to, but if I do it out of compromise, well, yeah, I guess we'll go. You know, we'll do that. I don't really want to do that, but, you know, I guess you want to do that. That would be coming from a fearful part of my personality. But if I really looked inside, I could see, what is it that I really want to do right now? And would it be okay with me to go to that movie? And when I say that from a loving part, and I may decide to go to the movie, or I may say, beloved, I think it's great that you want to go to that movie. That's not one I really want to go to, and have a great time. But if I say it from love, if I mean it from love, if my energy is loving, then it's, you know, whether I go to the movie or don't go to the movie, it's not from fear. It's from love.
That's right. If you say, have a great time, and you say, have a great time, I'll be waiting for you when you get back. You think I'm going to be any more loving then? You're wrong. So that is giving in to a compromise and resenting it in the moment.
Mm.
We're talking about also compromises where you decide to give a little, but you actually don't want to give at all. That's the nature of a compromise. That's why it creates resentment. Now, contrast that energy, that experience, with co-creation.
Mm.
Co-creation is a joy. It is fun. It's more than fun. It's sort of exhilarating. It's co-creation. It's not just looking at the status quo and saying, how are we going to shuffle this around so we're both as satisfied as we can be.
Mm.
It's saying, well, here's the situation. Now, I wonder what we could create together with this. I wonder what could happen.
Mm.
And then there's a real possibility of a real co-creation, and that is fun. That is joy. That's an experience of authentic power. That's creating together authentic power and experiencing the consequences. And they're always meaningful, fulfilling, and delightful.
I must say, though, when I talked to you so long ago about the money, I didn't initially feel the joy of co-creation. I was really, I had frightened parts that were very strong that didn't want to talk to Gary, that didn't want to say what I had to say. But more importantly, I had loving parts that knew, and I knew I needed to be in my integrity. So that was more important to me, to be in my integrity and say what I needed to say at that point. So it wasn't like I joyfully came to co-create with you. And I don't think for you, at the beginning, it was like that for you either. But it can happen. What I'm saying is right.
That's right.
Yeah.
But what Linda's saying is right. But you know more now than we did at the time.
Mm.
When there's a difference that's causing a power struggle, and you find yourself or selves wanting to compromise, you can ask yourself, am I, and that's the question of this webinar, am I co-creating or am I compromising?
Yeah.
What is my intention in interacting with my partner or with my partners? Is it love? Do I have the courage to really explore where this is going to go? And maybe it's going to go to a place that a frightened part of my personality does not want to go to. Then the question for you is the frightened part of your personality and where it wants to go more important than your partner? So you see, you can put it in this context. But this is not a feel-better context. This is a spiritual growth context. This is moving beyond fear and into love. This is experimenting with your life and seeing how far into love you can go. And as you've already discovered, because you've come this far, even by being on this call, that's frightening to love. That is frightening to parts of your personality that originate in fear. But it's also attractive to those parts that originate in love.
Yes, the ones that originate in love always want to be in integrity. There's nothing else they would rather do. So I want you to be really thinking about all the things we've said and open yourself and meditate about it and look at, and we'll talk about it on the call in just a few minutes. We'll join you on the call, in fact.
That's right. So in this initial example that Linda gave, we both came out of that experience in integrity and feeling in integrity and loving each other in integrity. And there's been zero residual, now that I think about it, over 22 or 23 years, there hasn't been a molecule of resentment on my part because I made the decision I needed to make in order to be in my integrity. And Linda did the same.
And I want to say, though, if I had asked Gary and I wasn't in my integrity and I was just trying to get money from him, that would have been a very, very different interaction. So we're not talking about that.
That's right.
We're talking about he felt my energy and he knew it was coming from love. Maybe he was in a frightened part of the time, but he knew that I really meant it.
What I knew was that she wasn't bargaining with me. She wasn't saying, look, give me the money or I'm going to leave for the Bay Area. That was not in her energy. I could feel that. Her energy was, I need this money. And no, I don't need a loan. I already have too much debt. Mm-hmm. I need this money. My alternative is that I'll need to go to the Bay Area and be a chiropractor.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't, if you don't give me, this is what I'm going to do. It mm-hmm. was, to be in my integrity, this is what I need to do. And there's no energy that was not a bargaining tool. And I felt that. I knew that. If it was a bargaining tool, we'd have split up shortly after that moment years ago because I wasn't going to buy that bargain, but I was going to be in my integrity and clearly make the choice of my love for my new spiritual partner rather than my fear mm-hmm. of giving away my money.
Right. Right.
And so I know that I left that interaction in integrity and feeling wonderful about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you did too.
Absolutely.
And that's co-creation. And no matter how you enter it, no matter how you get there with love, and you get there with integrity, and then you get there by making a responsible choice. I wasn't even thinking in those terms then, but I made the choice that I knew I wanted to make. I knew that if I chose my money over my beloved, what it would create, and I didn't want it.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that if I chose my beloved over my money, all $7,000 of it, what that had the potential to create, and I felt good about that choice.
That you chose me over your other than money.
Absolutely.
But it wasn't really the money, was it? It was really, you knew you needed to be in your integrity.
It was love over fear. That was what felt
yeah,
so
that
good.
Was what, that's what's important.
Choosing to interact with Linda with love rather than choosing to interact with her through fear.
So looking at it as not as an authentic need rather than an artificial need.
Yes.
Right.